Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another Bizarre Junkies Reacts videos. I am your host, Austin Alvarez. We got Joey on the decks and George shadowing on the decks.
Yeah.
Joey, you got to say it. If you're on this show, you have to speak.
Yo, what's up?
Okay, cool. All right, good. I always do that. Every time somebody's new, I make them. I'm like, hey, this show you're going to talk. George has set a precedent, okay? George gets naked on the stream sometimes, okay?
Yeah. Chytrell, I hope you're watching. And if not, if you're watching this back, yeah. I just can't wait for Friday nights. It's my favorite day of the week.
Yeah, they super chat to see him take his shirt off. So I'll take donations for George to take his shirt off.
Just to lose the shirt chant just starts and George loses his shirt?
All correct. Right. No, they just...
That's expensive. I've never done it live. Live, I think I'm waiting for a $100 super chat, to be honest.
Yeah, he's always showed like photos and stuff like that. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Today we have a guest that's a good friend of mine. We have Mr. Justin Wilson from Cox & Wilson Law Group, but that's not why you're here. You're just here because you're my friend.
Yeah, I'm just some guy.
Yeah, you're just some guy. Some guy happens to be associated with something, but...
That is associated with a law firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are a lawyer, correct? You haven't been just stringing me along. Like, yeah, I'm a lawyer. Come into my van.
I'm actually licensed in two states. I'm licensed in the state of Nevada. My bar number is 14646. You can check it. I'm also licensed in the state of Kansas 28099. I was licensed here first, and then I'm originally from Kansas, which is why I got licensed.
Gotcha. There. Okay, because I was about to say, I'm like, can you practice there? But it sounds
I can practice both. I kept both my licenses active.
Wow. All right. So I met you not because you're a lawyer. I actually met you through jiu-jitsu, through Nick, who has been on the show, and Shane has been on the show as well. Right. I remember you told me to use my weight, and that was our first interaction.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you? Like, especially if you don't know anything, why are you going to sit back? Like, you know, kind of like a little pansy, when you have some heft to you, fucking use it. Lean into me. Don't make it easy on me.
All right, then. Well, I that's, and actually, I really still didn't even, you know what's funny is Jerry called me a fat motherfucker. I rolled with him, which is the main instructor there. He's a third degree black belt,
fourth degree black belt? Yeah, he just got his third degree.
Third degree black belt, and I'm rolling with him, and like, I call myself the white belt no stripe assassin. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I call myself. Right. I've only gotten two people to tap ever. I was only going for a couple of months. Now I'm going to start going here pretty soon again. But I was rolling with him and like we finished. He's like, you fat motherfucker, use your weight. And I was like, yes, coach.
Well, see, I wasn't wrong.
No, you weren't wrong.
And when I said that, I was only a white belt.
You were. Now you're a blue belt, right?
Yeah, I'm a blue belt. Things are way different now.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want a lawyer like that can also like beat somebody's ass too? Like, isn't that kind of cool? Like,
yeah, I can butt scoot and like grab their legs. You have no idea. Like,
just
I can
pull guard
can
on them,
slide up,
just pull guard on them. It'll work fine.
Absolutely. No, for anyone watching, only pansies pull guard. Please stand up. Please wrestle. Please actually fight.
Yeah, single legs or nothing. Don't even go for doubles.
No. You snap them down.
Oh, you just want to get front headlock
control.
Collar tie,
snap them down, get in the side, put them in a side control, then put my knee on your belly, grab behind your head, and really drive my knee into your solar plexus.
The amount of just craziness I just saw from him as he told me that is a bit frightening.
Well, it's because it's hyper unpleasant. You're not going to tap from it, but it's so uncomfortable that it's going to make you move.
Into a
position that I want you to be in. Whereas I'm not just going to flip you over because, as Jerry said, I'm not going to say it.
Oh my god. All right. I've never been disrespected so much on my show before
within like 2 minutes
without it being a comment. They comment on me all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I got called the jar mayonnaise one time. That was a good one. That was a funny one.
The fuck does that mean?
I don't know. They got mad at me because I said, like, inherently speaking, like, the Appalachian region is pretty poor in terms of, like,
you're talking just socioeconomic status, like, just generally.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that that's objectively, demonstrably true, right? Like, if you look at census data, I'm sure that it would show you, like, you know, you've got the red areas or whatever color they use for this is the hyper poor versus this is the hyper rich, red, green, what, I don't know what the key is there, but I'm sure that it's not a rich area.
Right. Like, and like, they were like, we have plenty of money. And I'm like,
but then also, like, okay, so for example, I'm from Southeast Kansas, right? Chautauqua County, population like 3,300.
Wow.
Johnson County is up by Kansas City. It's the richest county in Kansas because there's a lot of people that live there. But if you look per capita, there's more millionaires in Chautauqua County than there are in Johnson County because it's a bunch of old farmers that have been farming for 50 years and never spend their money.
So what are they going to spend it on?
I don't know. More cows?
Yeah, but like, you know, you work long enough, you get like a rate, you get good with the cow guy. Or you get your own cows. You just breed
that's what
them.
I'm saying. They have their own cows.
Yeah.
So they're ranchers. They're not farmers. Most people aren't doing like
crops.
I mean, you got soybeans, corn, and a couple other things. But Anyway, the point is, it's a poor area. However, there are a lot of millionaires.
But I doubt the millionaires of the Appalachian region are watching Bizarre Junkies on TikTok.
Probably not.
So,
because you'd think that a millionaire would either be working or doing something else.
Correct. Like watching Bizarre Junkies right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you to all the 9 millionaires currently watching.
Hell yeah.
Right now. So, you haven't seen any of our content, right? Other than what I've showed you.
Yeah, I think you've sent me a couple of clips. And I believe that when I still had an Instagram, I think you would post things on there from time to time.
Yeah, because sometimes I'd collab with myself or I'd share it to my story kind of thing.
So that sort of stuff. But outside of that, no, I haven't gone out of my way to watch your stuff.
Okay, so Joey, let's go ahead and pull up brain fart. We did a cold plunge earlier today, and I'm feeling electric. I'm going to go close like 8 deals today. I closed one of them while doing the cold plunge.
Oh, wow.
I closed the sponsor for the 24-hour podcast, which is coming up April 12th and 13th. Joey, don't worry about it. It's all good. So if you are seeing this for the first time, or if you're Justin and you're on for the first time, what we do is our producer, Francisco, culminates a bunch of videos that either people send him from the community or that he finds out his TikTok feed is fucked. It's just all bad now because of this show.
Okay.
So we're just going to watch him, just give our reactions to him.
Okay.
I'm not holding you liable for anything. Also, by the way, I feel like we have to say anything you say is not legal
advice.
Yeah,
none of this is legal advice. Absolutely not.
It's not even probably life advice either.
Probably not. Definitely. Don't follow my example.
Yeah. Please. So so this first one.
Pick a better job.
This first one, I didn't write any of these. This is the first time I'm seeing it. It says, okay. It is said in Indian belief that if you feel like you're being watched and don't see anyone, put your head between your legs and you will see them.
Indian.
I think like in India.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So let's go ahead and pull up this first one here. Oh, turn the Oh, there's feet on the other side over there. I'll play it one more time.
I was gonna say, play that shit.
So he doesn't see anybody, then he puts his phone underneath his legs and he can see feet at the end of the hallway. I know it's a little tiny. All the way down there, those are legs.
Yeah, I see it. What? So the thing that I'm wondering, if the camera was to pan to the left, mm-hmm. like once it looks for the feet, is there a door over there?
Yeah, that's always the thing. Like with ghost footage, like you'll be looking at a video and they're like, oh, I'm gonna go look at this corner a little bit too long. And you're like, okay, so there was somebody behind the door that opened it. Then they the way they walk in, like if I were to walk in it realistically, I would instantly look behind that door and be like, who the fuck is behind the door?
Sure.
No, they always go to like the back corner and they're there for like 20 seconds. Right. It's like, that's a little suspicious of how long they have, they've been sitting there. But
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The first instant, like the first, oh wow, that's a little creepy.
Yeah.
And then you start to think about it. Cause I think, as much as I want to believe in this stuff or like the things that have happened to me, like I hope that they're what they purport to be. Like,
yeah.
Your logic kicks in and you're like, okay, what is really happening here? Because I don't know, your brain wants to override like that feeling you get in your stomach when it's just like, oh shit, you get the goosebumps and stuff.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know.
So do you believe in ghosts?
I think so. I definitely want to.
Okay.
And there are a couple of instances in my life that I can't explain the thing that happened.
Right.
And I know I was completely in my right mind. I, you know, was not under the influence of anything. And what I perceived, you know, using my senses, does not match up with what was going on.
Gotcha. Okay.
Would you like me to give an example?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this
is, of course, the fans are definitely
like one of the earliest things that I can remember. So my house was really weird. I grew up in a shack. But it was actually like two little houses that were kind of put together, and they were very old. I think my dad bought the place in 1987 for $1,500.
That's disgusting.
And it came with 2 acres.
Oh my God.
Right. Like,
and this
tells
is in Kansas?
Backwoods, yeah. Outside of a little town called Peru. Anyway, so the way that it was set up was there was the living room and like dining room area, I guess you'd say, and then there were 2 bedrooms. And then the backside was the second house that was put on it, and that was the kitchen and the bathroom. Anyway, so kitchen, bathroom right here. And then it was, if you could call it a hall, it's not a hall because both the rooms are just together.
Right.
So it's like you go from the kitchen into the dining room, living room. It's one room, right? So there's
open concept.
Open concept. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. we were ahead of the times back then. But it's maybe 30 feet from the bathroom door to where my parents are sitting in their recliners. because they were watching TV while I was taking a shower. I was probably 10 or 11. So it's not far, but it's far enough that you wouldn't be able to just get there like that, right?
Yeah.
So I had a towel wrapped around me because I was getting ready to go to my room to put my sleep clothes on, and I heard something in the kitchen. And I was like, Mama? I didn't hear nothing. And then I heard feet go, T-t-t-t-t-t-t. But it sounded like little kid feet. You know, like super yeah. light, not heavy like an adult. We're close together. I bust the door open, and the kitchen is dark, like all the way dark because there's no lights on. So the only thing I can see is the doorway and the light coming. And I immediately got creeped out. So I took the 3 steps it was to the door, turned immediately. My parents are reclined in their recliners.
Big
not,
John.
Not possible for them to have gotten from there to the recliners in that amount of time. So, and at the time, we didn't have any inside animals. I don't know, but it was definitely like,
yeah,
because you can hear what a footstep sounds yeah. like. Everybody's heard it. And so it's definitely from one side of the kitchen to the other, and it sounded like a little kid running. I don't have any brothers or sisters. I'm an only child. They had me and realized they fucked up, so they didn't want to do any
more. I said no more after that
yeah,
one.
Right? So I don't know, man. Like, I know what I heard.
Yeah.
And that's, it's not like a house can creak and sound like footsteps, right? So,
yeah. I don't know. So I did my, I was like you. And my stance on everything is, until you can prove to me yes or no, I'm in the middle.
Sure, yeah.
And I was that way with ghosts and the paranormal until we did our first investigation back in October. And I experienced a lot of, I mean, we got a lot of it on camera. They always say that, like, spirit boxes are a parlor trick. And sure, like, the apps were, so do you know what a spirit box is? So
the band?
They're really good, too. Yeah. I love them. No, so it's a radio that is specifically either tampered or manufactured so that it's constantly scanning through frequencies. And it is a way that is said to allow the paranormal to speak to you.
Okay, so it's like an EFP or whatever it's called?
Well, EVP is EVP, that's just a recording. That's just you okay. heard a voice, you record it, and you get it on there. So usually, and if you do it slow enough, because you'll hear like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, that's it changing frequencies.
Okay.
If you do it slow enough, you'll hear phrases from the radio, from the channel you're getting. But if you do it fast enough, nothing's going to be legible because it's going so quickly. So that's how we did it.
Audible,
not legible. Legible is written, written, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
It's seeable, whatever.
Yeah.
Hearable. It's
audible.
It's listen.
Auditory.
It's earable.
Earable.
Yeah,
can,
yeah.
You can ear it.
You can hear it. So we were doing it, and normally, like, you'll see these ones, and then it just goes like, dog. Cat, like just random words.
Just a random word.
We were with the owner. We were at this place called the Pioneer Saloon out in Good Springs.
Yeah, it's Good Springs. I know where it's at.
Yeah. So the owner of the show, or the owner of the saloon, is a good friend of the show. He was actually just on yesterday.
Nice.
We went there and did it with him. And as he walks up to the booth that we're sitting at doing it, the thing goes, "Hi, Steven." Yeah. And then it proceeds to say things to him that an employee who passed away a few months prior would only say to him. Crazy.
What was his response?
He
creeped the fuck out.
No, because it was a few.
Or was it like touched?
Yeah, it was like emotional for him.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so that for me, it wasn't just that. It was that whole night that convinced me.
Okay.
Of,
I mean, that alone is pretty strange. And if it's
yeah.
So again, back to the logic side of it. Yep. As long as I could prove that whatever this thing was a device that was just random and you didn't. You know, do this.
Yeah.
And...
But the fact that it was saying it was like we were asking it questions. It was giving us answers that made sense to the question we were asking.
Right.
It wasn't like, who are you? Outside. Like, okay, that doesn't really make any sense. But if you're like, we kept going, we go, do you have a name? And it kept saying Andrew. Said it multiple times. Yeah.
Okay.
It was crazy. I'll send you the link. You have to watch it.
I want to watch this.
It's a good one. Yeah. So, all right. So we'll go into our next one. This one just says a short compilation of some bizarre activities. Creepy things caught on camera, 4 videos. Let's see here. Let me turn it down just a little bit. It says, help. So they're praying or doing a hymn, and you hear somebody screaming, please help, in the back.
But that's in Spanish.
Correct. Hospital security guard gave balloons to a couple small children he was talking to, but after question, as you can see in the video, why? So there's nobody behind him. The balloons are just floating in midair.
That's not creepy at all. I didn't get goosebumps when I watched that just now. Just kidding.
Oh, this one's crazy. It's a gin.
Oh,
it's like a possessed being, yeah.
Oh.
I think it's Middle Eastern.
Well, you've got the high ground. Kick that motherfucker down the stairs.
I get off work and this is what I come home to. Which would be cool. Nobody here. So, maybe Digi. Digi, did you run the bath? Or are you gonna take a... What the fuck?
Yo, what? Slams the door on him. Okay, that one, there might have been a person in there.
I feel like the best thing that that ghost could do would be, like, turn the Barry White on. Really set the mood, because that's the vibe I'm getting out of that last one, is the ghost has been, it's been a dry spell. You know, there's been some time.
The ghost is like...
wanting to get a little peace.
Wanting to get a little peace.
Whomst among us, am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's that one was the least creepy of the four. But again, like, let's put our...
our thinking hats
this,
on.
This or that hats on, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's say that happened to you and that was real. Like, that you were there, and for the purposes of this hypothetical, it's 100% true. Like, how creepy would that be?
It's terrifying.
I don't know if I'd say terrifying, because the ghost is just drawing you a bath, making it nice. Was there a bath bomb in there? Maybe trying to get you to exfoliate. Maybe your problem is
maybe he's like,
you need a better skin.
Bitch, you're dehydrated. Your skin is...
the ghost is like, you need a better skincare routine, bro. Even a dead person can see that.
Hey, maybe the ghost is looking out for you after all, okay?
Yeah. The gin one, very creepy. The balloons, I think, is probably the creepiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that's thrown me off about the balloons, now that I'm thinking back on it, because when I initially watched it, my initial reaction, I literally got goosebumps. I was like, nope, fuck this. Like, the instinct to turn around and run away, right? But then it's like, okay, that one balloon is just hanging off the ground. It's like it was literally right above the ground. Right, it wasn't like, oh, you know, a 4-year-old's holding it, so it's halfway up, and the other one's all the way at the ceiling. I don't know. That makes it seem less creepy.
Like, to my 5-year-old holds things weirdly, like unconventionally. So I could kind
on
of
the
see.
On the ground though.
Like, he might hold the middle and drag it because he just wants the balloon to be close to him.
Sure, but the actual balloon, the head of the balloon, is not going to be on the deck.
Was it on the deck? I remember seeing both of them up in the air. Maybe
I think the red one was higher and the other one. Looked
like
it was right at the
ground. But it was like here. Oh. It wasn't like.
Oh, I don't know. Oh. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway. Yeah, very creepy.
There's a good video that we've shown a few people where a janitor at a school is walking around and he's like, this balloon has just been sitting here and it's just floating. Mm. But then he backs out of the room, like down the hallway, and it follows him. Not like enough to where it's like, oh, the AC blew it.
Right.
Like follows him.
Like nice, even, steady pursuit.
Yep.
Just...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Time. That's
time to float. Right. That's it.
It was a red balloon too.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So
dude, I'm not gonna lie. I've watched that movie so many times that I could probably quote the whole thing, and it's terrifying
to me. Actually, you're gonna hate me. I've never seen it. I understand the concept. I've read part of the book.
You really ought to watch both of them.
The original, right?
The original.
I've seen parts of the original.
Tim Curry
as Pennywise.
Yes, it's just such a different vibe between Curry and Skarsgård. But I really, the new one, man,
he does it right.
Dude, I'll just put that shit on when I'm bored. I love that movie.
See, my girlfriend does the same thing, though. She'll just put creepy movies on. My kid likes them now,
it's
too.
It's so good. It is such a good movie. And he does that thing where, like,
his eyes.
He's got a natural, like, cross eye or lazy eye or something. And so he works to keep him. But when it's when the character's doing something, that eye will start to come in, and then he starts to drool a little bit.
Yeah. Have you seen, his name? The actor. He's on SNL or was on SNL. He was the boy. He's the grown up version of the boy, the main kid.
Bill Hader.
Yeah, Ryan Hader.
I think Bill Hader's Richie's,
but him though that actor.
Yeah. He's very funny. He was also in Hot Rod
and Superbad.
Yes.
McLovin. Yeah. Right, you remember that?
McLovin is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He was one of the cops.
He's the cop, and he comes in and he does it that way, and he said that he made the sound guy laugh audibly.
Yeah.
But he said that he went up to that actor, the guy who plays it, and he was like, "Can you do that thing with your eyes, or was it CG?" And he just does it, and there's a photo of him like freaked out, like "What the fuck?" So
yeah, that picture's really funny. The still of that.
Yeah. Like, All right. This next one says a hateful spirit. Let's see what this is all about. Oh, it says queer people ghost hunting.
Who did you just call fat? Are you talking to me?
Oh, I did the hard F.
What did it say?
F A.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I was looking. I was looking at the faces, not the.
Gay one. What do you think of gay people?
Freaks. Damn.
You're being nasty. We hear you.
What color is Roz's dress? They both said red.
Red. This isn't red. This is magenta. Okay.
It's a man for sure. He doesn't know what magenta is.
Yeah. I don't know magenta. Can we talk to someone that has good taste? Hi. Okay, Hello. Thank you, girl. Listen, whoever we're just talking to does not.
I wonder if that's gonna happen to us this weekend.
So the only thing that I wonder is that their reaction to that word seemed a little muted compared to what I would imagine that person would have got very upset, right?
Yeah, but I mean, when you're in the moment, it's almost like you're not fully you. You're almost like, because your senses are heightened. For them, they weren't sure. In pitch black, but like us, we were in pitch black.
Oh yeah,
the only people who could see were the camera people, Travis. Okay. And George, because we have IR cameras.
Okay. Yeah.
I could not. Damn, people are saying, who's the waiter?
Fuck, this is a nice suit. This is a custom suit.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
I had court this morning. What the fuck, guys? Like, I came here from the jail. I went to court and then to the jail and then here. Give me a break.
Not because he's in jail, by the way.
Yeah, no. My tie is nice. Look, does a waiter know how to do a half Windsor? I don't think so. So calm down. Anyway.
Did you just knife hand them?
I just knife handed the fucking camera. I don't know, man. I got problems. So I said, pick a better job.
All right, let's just keep this rolling. This one says, the tragic story of Lloyd Avery II, an actor who was too engulfed in a role he played.
Okay, so like the Heath Ledger sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like a method actor, yeah.
Right, got it.
Are you familiar with the tragic story of Lloyd Avery II? Now, you may not know his name, you may not know his story, but I can guarantee you've seen his face before and you know where this picture's from. This is from the masterpiece by John Singleton called Boys in the Hood.
Ricky!
And this specific scene is where he kills Ricky. So let's talk about his story, because it's really interesting and tragic at the same time. Lloyd grew up in Baldwin Hills, which is known as the Black Beverly Hills. He came from a well-to-do family, two-parent household, a nice house. I'm talking about a swimming pool in the back. He went to Beverly Hills High School, played water polo, baseball, what? Graduated, and went to a technical trade school. He eventually dropped out because he wanted to pursue acting. Now, when John Singleton was making Boys in the Hood, he wanted to have an authentic portrayal, and he wanted it to be as real as he possibly could, so he was casting people from the surrounding area. Now, Lloyd was from the area, so he ended up getting casted as Knucklehead Number 2, which, if you've seen the movie, you know he has a small role, but the role that he had was major for a small role because of what he does and what happens. Now, after Lloyd's role in Boys in the Hood, he became like a local celebrity. I'm talking about VIP club entrance. Whoever he signed with the talent agency. He ended up producing music and even producing
makeshift traps in the Vietnam War.
Something just started playing on my end. I apologize about that.
They could get their hands on to make the dead.
Who told the ghosts are doing that? I never told that to play. Joey. This is my screen. You would see if I moved it.
All right.
They know we're coming for them on Saturday.
They don't want you to watch this.
Deuce a song for Tisha Campbell, which was a pretty big deal. Everybody was showing him love. He got a guest appearance on the Doogie Howser show. I mean, things were going up. John Singleton's second film, which was Poetic Justice, he ended up casting Lloyd Avery again. Now, this was not a big role, right? He was only in the beginning of the movie, and he was casted as Thug Number 1. But it was still like another role, right? He still got to be on the big screen. And John Singleton even let Lloyd Avery's brother be in the scene with him, as you can see his little brother right here. After Poetic Justice, Lloyd's talent agency was getting calls for many auditions, but the problem was he was not showing up to the auditions. And when he did show up, he was forgetting his lines. So this same time period, he moved from Baldwin Hills, the nice house, nice neighborhood with his family, and moved to the jungle, which is South LA, predominantly ran by Bloods. And he ended up joining the Black Peace Stone Bloods and even got it tattooed on him. Now, Baldwin Sykes from Boys in the Hood has been on record saying that he thinks that Lloyd made this transformation in real life because of the praise he got for playing his role in Boys in the Hood. So he thinks that he felt like he needed to be this in real life because Baldwin Sykes has said himself, people have walked up to him and given him praise for using an AK on screen and killing somebody. Now, the next time we end up seeing Lloyd on screen is the 1996 film Don't Be a Menace. He had an uncredited role. It really wasn't much of anything at all. And at this time period, he was addicted to smoking PCP. He was living from place to place, just moving in with other people and getting into altercations with the people he was moving in with. And he was working at a car wash and selling drugs on the side. Now, eventually, Lloyd Avery ends up committing a double homicide. But the crazy thing is, after he commits the double homicide, he ends up landing a role in the movie Locked Up, which is one of Masterpiece produced films. And he has problems on set. He was caught smoking PCP. He was caught stealing. He was getting into arguments and fights with the people on set. So they eventually had to kick him out. It was so bad that they ended up deleting a lot of his scenes from this movie. And then a year later, even after all these problems and having a double homicide on his head, this man got offered his first leading role for the film called Shot that came out in 2001. And he threatened to...
Uh-oh. The internet's acting up.
That's wild.
We've been having a lot of technical problems lately. Yeah, no, not even that. It's the what you can't see.
The internet.
Yeah.
That's the biggest ghost of them all.
That is. You can stay off my screen for a minute here.
So does that mean that the live is still going?
Yeah, because here's the thing. That's hardwired. We prioritize that over everything else. This is Wi-Fi. Okay.
All right. That's
the fair. Wi-Fi has been trash here lately. Hmm. Hoping to cleanse the place Saturday.
You need some sage.
We're going to do that.
Actually?
Yeah, legitimately. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's the when we end the investigation, we're going to cleanse.
Okay. I used to date a girl that did that.
And? Well, you're not with her now, so.
No, she sucked.
Okay. All right.
Not because of the sage, by the way. She was just an asshole. It couldn't cleanse her demons, apparently.
God. Man, yeah, this isn't loading. I wonder if...
So what my immediate thought on that was... because they were talking about sort of like the tragedy of this particular aspect in Hollywood. And I know that this has nothing to do with it, but James Dean's car.
Okay.
You've heard of this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
how it's like bad luck.
Yeah. It's like a plagued thing in Hollywood. I don't know. So that's my immediate thought was like, okay, you've got this person who had this problem and they just got too into their role and basically took a bunch of bad life decisions.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, smoking PCP, probably not advised. It's definitely a scheduled narcotic in the state of Nevada.
Felony, right?
Yeah. Possession of. Fun fact, using it, however, being high, not a crime. And buying it, not a crime.
Wait. In the state of Nevada, at least.
Well, in both the states, any state that I'm aware of, it's not a crime to buy the drugs. It's only a crime to possess them.
And to sell.
Correct.
Possession with intent to sell.
Correct. But... If let's say you had some drugs and I was like, I'll have some drugs, please.
Give me $10 and I hand you drugs.
$10 and then you never give me the drugs and the cops show up and I never possess them.
I'm not
guilty of anything. You are for possession with intent. And I wanted to buy, but there's no intent to buy. There's no, you know, there's no crime for buying drugs. Just wanting to buy them. It's until you possess them. Now, constructive versus actual possession, that's a completely different thing.
So what if... Okay, what, question.
Great. Now we're doing this. Okay.
Not legal advice, by the way.
No, not legal advice. But don't drive when you're on PCP, please.
I don't drive while you're under the influence. Well,
just don't do PCP.
Yeah, start there. Let's say, like... And I don't... I've only ever smoked marijuana, okay? That's the only thing I've ever
done. You've done a weed?
I've done a marijuana cigarette. That's how you can tell how old somebody really is. They go,
joint?
Yeah, that's what you call it.
Like with a zigzag rolled up and everything?
Zigzag. Joey, bail me out here.
You've got some like fucking pregnant dolphin looking joints, don't you? That's how you roll your joints.
No, I use pre-rolls and vape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm lazy.
Naturally.
Yeah, I'm lazy. Course, so, but let's just say, I might be wrong.
Wait,
here.
You never crushed a pop can? And...
No, I only started smoking like a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm very new to it.
Smoking high? Well, that's the problem. If you just smoked in high school, you had to do some MacGyver shit.
Yeah, to get it.
You can't get away with those things. All you can do is buy a dime bag and then like, how am I going to smoke this? Oh, I got an avocado. Here we go. You know, or whatever.
Oh, people in the chat are like, it's not illegal. Yes. Do it.
Well, buying it isn't, but possessing it once you purchase it is illegal.
So, okay, here's the thing. Let's say you hold it for me and you light it and I smoke it, but it's in your hand.
Well, the argument would be made that you possessed it because it touched you.
Ah, damn. I was just saying, I'm like, what if... What,
right.
All I did was get high. But I didn't possess it.
Being high...
Yeah.
So,
well, isn't that a DUI or under the influence if you're driving?
Unless, if you're driving, or they get you with public intox. But like, if I'm in my house, let's say, and you came over and I'm sitting here and I'm making up some random stupid hypothetical, right?
Right.
And you take a ecstasy pill and throw it at me and I, you know, catch it like a dolphin, like a the trained seal that I am,
right?
With drugs. And I swallow this pill. And then 30 to 45 minutes later, depending upon the potency, I start to get high and the cops come in. You've got all the drugs, and let's say this is on camera. I can't get in trouble for possession. Because
you already did it.
I ate it, and it's gone. And
so is that like when people OD, they don't necessarily get arrested?
Correct.
Because it's just because they did it, not
unless they have it in their pocket or something.
Right.
Right. And that's
and you get a good cop who plants it on them. Saves their butt.
That's not a good cop. But no, you see that sometimes. I had a couple of clients, when I was a prosecutor, there were a couple people that I had cases I had to prosecute where they have some problem. The ambulance comes and gets them, takes them to the hospital. And when they're inventorying their shit, they find, you know, a little baggie of meth in their pocket. Well,
now it's possession.
It's possession at that point. Yeah. There's no crime for being high or ODing. I mean, you're kind of a jerk because you're wasting resources and almost killing yourself, which is pretty stupid that way. Anyway.
All right. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, please. Sorry. I got into
all right,
a little.
So this one says a guard talks to an unseen entity.
Okay, watch this, y'all. This man, he called his boss asking him, why didn't y'all tell me they had a new employee, right? He constantly looking back, right? He talking to somebody, right? This is creepy. Look, having a whole conversation with somebody, right? Saying that somebody came and he dapping that person off and everything. Now see, look, y'all see when he dapped them off, look what happened. He dapped him off. You see that shadow? And then the shadow goes over here, and he pulling the chair out for him. He swear to God, he sat there and had a whole conversation with this person. He moved over, talking to him and everything. Y'all better protect yourselves. Whatever that was, took advantage of him.
Wow. I worked at the Mob Museum for a little bit right out of high school, and I remember them showing me CCTV footage. Now, there, they have a chair that was used for executions at a prison here in Nevada.
Sure.
They also have part of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre wall.
Mm. Yeah, I've been there before.
Yeah, so they have stuff that has energy attached to it.
Sure.
And they showed me video of, on the top floor, we have, it's called like the casino floor, or like the saloon floor, because it's all the old stuff. So you see a guy go to sit down, and the chair just, nobody's there behind him or anything, and he just slides out and he just eats shit, which is kind
of ghost
kinda,
with a sense of humor.
Yeah, the
I
ghost
love
is
it.
Like, ah, what? He's like, hey,
got
hey,
his
check,
ass.
Check this shit out. This is gonna be
fucking
funny.
Fucking dragged him,
but that was crazy because they were like, nobody was there. He even came and was like, hey, do you guys have like a prank that you pull? And they're like, no, but that'd be pretty
a chair
cool.
Chair with like a magnet on it or something,
or wheels, and it's like on a track and it comes
out. Sure.
I had that issue during the paranormal investigation where, because one of the big things of lore there is there was a poker game that turned south. And so we were doing the lights on tour. We hadn't even started the investigation. And I walk over to the table and I go to pull the chair. And it feels like somebody's keeping it from being pulled. I had to like kind of really pull it. And I was like, ain't no way. We haven't even started yet. Ain't no way. And we're sitting there and the owner and myself both are like, you feel that, right?
Mm.
Like not even.
Just like some heaviness in the air.
Yeah, like you could feel like the energy. And it was a little creepy.
So that one initially, and then I started to think about it while I was watching the video, that music that they play.
Sorry. Did it again. I didn't even.
You were touching it that time, though.
Yeah, but I wasn't even on that tab.
Right. That's fair.
Okay, that one was me.
So that music that they play underneath it, that kind of like, I don't even know how to do it, but like that music is in general creepy as fuck.
Yeah, that's why I use it on every clip.
Okay, well, that song, whatever it's from, sound effect, creeps the fuck out of me.
There's one that's really creepy, and it sounds like somebody crying or like yelling, but it's cat meows. And they just put, Joey would know how to do this, they just put like reverb and like vocal effects on
it, auto tune it or something, and then
pitch it up and do stuff like that. He's an actual, you know, engineer and does like producing and stuff like that for music artists.
That's awesome.
He knows way more than I do. I was just a musician for
Yeah, that one was creepy, and I didn't really see the shadow thing she was talking about on the second
time. I saw it when he was walking, when he before it went to the chair.
Sure.
I saw a different, because you could see his shadow here,
right,
and then another shadow here.
I thought I saw that, but then whenever she was saying he went around, it looked like it was just his arm grabbing the chair. But I don't know, my initial reaction was, okay, that's a little weird. It's creepy, especially, so I'm taking what they're saying as gospel, right? And that's that this person goes to work, and they're just like, oh, I didn't know we had a new employee tonight.
Yeah.
Right? There's obviously nobody else on the camera, and he's talking to someone who's not there. So if we presume that what he's saying is true, that this actually happened, then yeah, that's super creepy. Right?
Now, does that ghost have rights?
Rights to what?
I don't know.
like the, constitutional rights?
Sure. Like, what is it, Sal Goodman from?
Better Call Saul?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, did you know you have rights? Constitution says so.
Yeah, you do have rights. I don't think that there's any precedent that talks about whether ghosts have rights.
I mean, there's bird law, but is there ghost law?
There's bird law. So the thing that I'm going to look at with this or use my analysis for, so there are a series of rights and they diminish based on your status, right? So for example, you as an American citizen, you have more rights than somebody who, let's say, is a lawful permanent resident.
Right.
Well, a lawful permanent resident has more rights than somebody who's just here on a green card, or not a lawful permanent resident, but here legally, right?
Right.
And then you go down the chain. So I would say living beings are above deceased beings.
Okay.
So maybe they have some rights, but definitely not as many as you and me.
Okay. But so
you could illegally search them and no one's going to care.
Could you plant something on them? And
oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Damn. Not legal advice.
No, not legal advice.
Definitely not legal advice. But okay. All right. So this one, I kind of clued you in on this one. This one's funny. So Joey, we have the Manchester ghost strikes again. This time, and this is what the note says. This time while taking the piss.
Okay.
Because he's British.
Yeah.
Above the bedroom. So, whoa, taking the fucking piss. What the fuck, guys?
What the fuck? Everything's what better fuck? With that accent.
Usually come in here. Lamp's been flashing. Sort of creak over here.
This is watch the chair.
Yeah, I got it. I can read. Thank you. Hmm.
Oh, that's not good. That's all. Whoa, fucking move! What the fuck, guys?
Like it's his buds playing a trick on him?
Fucking shit, I've got to go through. I'm gonna break the fucking blind, you dickhead!
It stopped. Maybe you got to call ghost dickhead every once in a while.
Yeah, you fucking talk to him with a Cockney accent and call him a dickhead.
Talk about trying to get rid of it. And then today, it fucking started again. While I was thinking to just fucking leave it for a bit because it's calm.
Apparently it doesn't like Rihanna.
YouTube doesn't either. That's why we're going to get demonetized.
Did you catch that, guys?
Okay, so it's slightly tilted.
Yeah.
Just turning that down. Definitely just moved. Whoa, did you hear that, guys? I'm not even opening that door. What the fuck? I swear to God, guys, a few minutes ago, it sounded like there was a fucking... It's destroying your bathroom or something. Like, properly. I can hear, like, fucking...
You've properly destroyed a bathroom, I'm sure.
I'm not even sure. Fuck, I'm gonna have to go in. It's destroying the bathroom, guys. What the fuck? Think it's because I put that salt in the
on the table.
So it's come in the bathroom. I have to take that salt off, guys. I think. I have to take that salt off the table. It's going to end up destroying another room.
So, I was just thinking about that while I'm watching it. I think it would be worse if the spirit wasn't, like, malignant or evil. But it was just slightly annoying.
Like, yeah, like a mischievous. Like,
yeah. No, not even mischievous, because mischievous implies that it's maybe for some sort of joy or something. But it just, like, wants to fuck with you, right? So, you hang your towel up. I'm always going to knock it down. You come back in. Your towel didn't dry because it was sitting on the bathroom floor in a pile. You know, like
you're just
like
an inconvenient ghost.
Inconvenient ghost, like little things like that. That would suck. That'd be bad. So I was watching the one with the chair. I'm thinking, okay, I wasn't paying attention to the legs of the chair. Was there a string on it? But then when he picks it up, no string.
Yep.
How do you explain that? I don't know.
Well, he also has just a ton of footage of just shit happening to him.
Right.
Like the blinds one is really, it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
Where they all turn at the same time.
Sure.
And then you call him a dickhead. Like that was, that's, that one's a comedic
it's
one.
It's also not possible to take it seriously with that accent. Yeah. And saying that stuff, man. Like I just
like the rappers from the UK.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh God. So
oi, blood, run it.
Don't.
Joe, you ever had to work with a guy from the UK?
I worked with a girl artist from the UK, from London, actually like a month or two ago.
Oh, okay. But like, she's probably cool, right?
Super cool. Yeah. And it was just fire to hear her voice rapping and shit.
Right. But she probably wasn't like, I was born on these streets.
She was from some shit. Like she wasn't.
Like the south side of London.
Bah, bah, bah.
Yeah. Like she was.
Yeah, the south side of London. Yeah. It's not a nice place from what I understand.
I heard obviously, the dental's not good in the UK either.
I just don't think that they care.
It's just we have other things to care about, like yeah, losing sure. to America.
Yeah, it's been a while, but they did that. And then I'd say more recently, getting your asses saved by America, well, especially yeah. with as much crap as they talk on us.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, at least our schools are not Call of Duty lobbies. And it's like the yeah, grotesque it's like, yeah, creature.
It's got just, like the stink lines coming out of it, and it's like one tooth is the size of this fucking water bottle.
We love you, UK. I have friends in the UK that do a podcast. In
some
here.
Of my best friends are in the UK. One of them right now is deployed.
Oh,
I think he's in the Mediterranean.
I don't
know if he was supposed to tell me where, so I'm not going to say where he's at.
He's somewhere in Europe.
He's in the Mediterranean, in you know, support of the ongoing conflict in.
Oh, he's in the shit.
No. He's not in the shit. He's just over there.
He's potentially he could be in the shit.
He's
at any
shit
moment.
Adjacent.
Shit adjacent. Okay.
Yeah, he's an officer in the British Marines, I believe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, good guy.
Gotcha.
Shout out George.
So we're running out of time here a little bit. So I just want to show you. This one, let's see if I can pull it up. This one, all it says is this legal?
Oh, God, no. Like, you're violating so many conventions and treaties. And are you, like, if you're
Geneva's
talking,
a thing for a reason because of this?
I mean, we wipe our ass with that all the time. But according to what's on paper, yes, it's very illegal. And if you were doing it locally, like if you did one of these, hyper illegal.
Well, yeah.
You're not allowed to set a... They call it a spring trap.
Right.
Right? And there's a super old law that goes back for that. It's like, let's say someone's burgling your house. You can't be like, all right, well, I'm going to set this shotgun at head level behind the door. You know, no one's coming here. If these fuckers come over, it'll be the last time they burgle my
house.
I've
seen Home Alone.
Yeah, it turns out those dudes would be dead. And Kevin McAllister, what was he, seven?
Seven or eight, yeah.
In most jurisdictions that I'm aware of, he would be too young to prosecute. So he'd get away with it.
And he could be high.
And he could be high, but not in possession.
Not in possession.
But even if he was in possession, very young, he'd probably get away.
His parents would get in trouble, though.
Probably. There'd probably be some...
Well, and then
some,
also they find
well,
out...
Well, yeah, they leave him there and they go to fucking Paris or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
there's
going to
be some child
oh, you,
endangerment.
Yeah,
yeah,
neglect.
For sure.
All right, let's get into this one, though. So this is just this all Vietnam War traps declassified.
Ugh. Whoever invented these traps was a real psychopath. The Viet Cong were notorious for their makeshift traps in the Vietnam War, using wires, bamboo, and pretty much anything they could get their hands on to make the deadliest homemade booby traps that even you can make. Undetectable by the US Army that acted as psychological warfare just as much as they did in physical damage. Like this foot pedal or bear trap, which was specifically designed for the troops' steel-toed boots. Once a soldier stepped into it, it caved in, and dozens of sharpened bamboo sticks pierced their calf and was incredibly painful. Similar to their Venus flytrap, except you'd have the sticks aimed downwards into the foothole, and when someone's foot slipped through, it would almost feel like nothing was even there at first. When the victim would unknowingly try to pull out of it, their foot would get trapped by these angled bamboo spears. Yeah, good luck with that. Now, the Viet Cong weren't a traditional military. They were just farmers and local supporters of the North Vietnamese Army, who joined the war against a more powerful opponent, the U.S. Army, by mobilizing in small groups and coordinating Home Alone-style sabotage traps. The definition...
Like how they said Home Alone as well.
Come on, how bad could a couple of sharpened bamboo sticks really be? Oh, they're pretty bad. When cut at the proper angle, these babies get sharp as a mothercracker. They called them punji spikes and would sometimes give them this little serration at the end to make them extra painful to remove. Oh, and they covered the tips with feces to cause infection in their victims, either of the animal or even human variety. They'd put a whole bunch of these spikes in the ground like this and cover the top with leaves for a punji pit, which weren't a good time. Same with the trap bridge. More punji spikes underwater with a deceiving river crossing over it that would break in half. Stepping it up with a canned grenade. Two grenades with their pins pulled, stuffed
into
cans
have that in
and
my
held
house,
together
right?
by wire. Since no. the pins were pulled,
of the nade was essentially getting cooked the whole time. When someone tripped the wire, the blast would be immediate. This is probably my favorite one, the crossbow trap. I mean, just look at this intricate tripwire system they got going on. When a soldier tripped it, the locking mechanism would release, and this arrow, probably also covered with feces, is shot into the victim. The tiger trap is just cruel. More tripwires would release bamboo rafts covered with spikes from the sky and likely pierce their skulls. As you can tell, these traps weren't just physically deadly and extremely painful, but also played mind games with the already exhausted soldiers, as every move they made could result in death or excruciating pain. Vietnam veterans recall being mentally terrorized, not only from surprise attacks by guerrilla soldiers hidden in the thick jungle, but also, or even more so, chronically on edge about falling victim to one of these gut-wrenching traps. Like the spike board, a sort of evil twin cousin of the classic rake prank, except it had, you guessed it, feces-covered spikes at the end of it that would puncture their head and chest. Snake pits victims would fall into would be filled with deadly, venomous green pit vipers for Indiana Jones's worst nightmare. Mace traps go full Ewok mode with either a large log, hardened mud, a box, or even concrete covered with spikes that would swing down from the trees when tripped. The door trap would smash your face with spikes as soon as you walked into an abandoned cabin for safety. The side
Looney Tunes trap
is also kind of genius, using the tension of a bungee cord holding together two plates of wood with spikes. A block in the middle would keep the trap open until someone fell through, pushing it out of the way and snapping them shut with an incredible force of tension. And whoever made the bamboo whip trap straight up deserves an engineering degree. I mean, just look at this thing. Since bamboo's flexible, they could bend it back like this and hold it in place with all these wires and pulleys. When someone tripped it, the wires released and the spiked end of the bamboo stick comes swinging out at breakneck speeds. I feel like I've seen this before. Hornet trap releases a nest from an overhead box, causing soldiers to scramble, and would often be used in combination with snake or punji pits to finish them off. These guys sure know their combos. Cartridge trap, one of the few that used actual military weaponry, would have an upwards bullet buried in a hole with a nail underneath it. When a victim stepped on it, the nail would act as a firing pin and shoot the bullet up through the troop's foot. They called these toe poppers. And the flag bomb. The Viet Cong quickly realized that Americans were kind of obsessed with claiming and raising flags as sort of a symbol of dominance, so they used that against them and started rigging flagpoles with grenades, again with their pins pulled that would cause an immediate explosion. Yeah, I guess there's a reason the U.S. lost that one.
Wow.
Actually,
I'm going to take issue with that last part. I don't think it was necessarily the you know, guerrilla tactics that were utilized by the Viet Cong. I think it was probably more along the lines of the fact that we didn't go above the DMZ. Weren't supposed to go into Laos and Cambodia, and we didn't fight an actual war.
Yeah,
we started a bombing campaign, we got them to the Paris peace talks like that. Granted, that was right before the Tet Offensive, so they had something sneaky up their sleeve.
Yeah.
But all we'd had to do is just bomb the shit out of the North.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because you are a veteran, I don't know if when you're in the military, if they teach you about his previous wars.
You learn things, but predominantly, I mean, I don't think that you learn, like, so in the Marine Corps, they teach you a lot about the Marine Corps history, right? So we learned about notable people, notable battles, and all those things.
So like Iwo Jima and stuff
Iwo Jima,
like that.
Way City, for example.
Okay.
But the knowledge that I have from it is just I've always been interested in military history, like every...
Well, I mean, haven't you heard, like, when a man hits, like, 30s, like, they pick one of three things. World War II history, whiskey.
Or baking or grilling or something like that, like Traeger. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so you obviously went the
yeah, but I started when I was, like, six, though. I've liked that kind of stuff ever since I was a kid. As to those traps, though, those are awful.
Yeah, that's
right.
An awful way to
go. And my understanding is that they did just shit and piss on it.
Yeah.
Because I'm digging this trap and I'm out in the jungle, right? I'm on a trail that's readily patrolled by this Army base or that Marine base or whatever. Okay, I don't have a bunch of animal crap around, so I'm just going to... We got 12 of us.
Yep.
We got to go to the bathroom at least 12 times a day, right? Between the 12 of us, that's a lot of stuff to put on a stick that is going to get stuck through someone's calf or their...
Yeah, that kind of makes you squirm.
Yeah, because I don't know, man. Like, everybody's stepped on a... If you haven't stepped on a nail, which it sucks, stepped on a Lego or something, so just, you know, expand that up.
By like 1,000.
By 1,000, you know, amount that you can't really fathom, but that you can somewhat conceptualize. It sounds miserable.
So none of that is legal?
No, not legal at all. Against several conventions.
But here's the thing. Do they care about the conventions when they're defending their homeland? Like,
no, would you?
No, we would do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Here.
I'm going to create every sort of... Pressure trap,
Kevin McAllister,
spring trap,
Kevin McAllister,
everything I can do. I'm trying to remember that line from that movie. I just watched it recently, and he says, "Why don't they just give up?" And the guy he's talking to said, "Would you?" And it's the truth, right? We were in their backyard.
Yeah.
Whether we should have been there or not, not going to get into that.
Right.
The fact is, we were there. they viewed us as the aggressors, right? Any war where you have someone who's not liberating you from somebody else who is the aggressor.
Like World War II, where everybody, everybody could see a clear, definitive evil person in that. But like even like the conflict in the Middle East is kind of the same thing where it's like...
Yeah, you show up and it's like...
Yeah, they're going to do what they can to just keep their way of life. Like,
right.
But they didn't ask for us to be there.
And I can't imagine that I would do anything different, right? So it's weird. I think when you grow up, you're like, oh, you know, these are the bad guys and we're the good guys. And then it's like, well, the line between
actually,
the bad guys.
Actually, we were probably the bad guys.
No.
Depends on the side of the story.
On some level, but like, I mean, if you look at what we were trying to achieve, supposedly, like the whole communism thing, it doesn't work out. And everywhere that it exists, people are, you know, subjugated or there's bad things that happen. Like, but is it our responsibility to enforce humanitarian things on that level when it's not something to the level of like concentration camps? Is it our job?
Right.
I don't know. You got.
And I feel like that's an argument people have all the time. Sure. Though it's like, we as the United States have an obligation to help everybody. And that's the counter argument is why. Now, isn't it with some countries you do have policing treaties with them?
I believe that. I mean, if you're looking at like groups like NATO or the UN.
Right. Like then, Northern African countries like NATO is very, very present there.
And then also I think that you can get something where you've got like an economic interest. Right. So look at what China's doing, where they're replacing the United States in a lot of places by simply providing that economic benefit, but they're doing their contracts in almost an unconscionable way. I forget the country, but there's some country in Africa where they did a contract about a loan and China gave this country a loan. The country defaulted. China knew it was going to default. And so they set the terms to where they got their major, the major airport in that country, then defaults to Chinese ownership. So when they default on their loan now, and I can't remember where it was. I want to say it was like near the Ivory Coast or something like that. And maybe I'm talking out of my ass here, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Anyway.
I remember hearing about this though. Yeah.
The Punji Pit's bad, 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 bad.
Yeah.
And not legal or ethical. Well, ethical is a sliding scale again.
Yeah.
Right. If we're being invaded, my ethics go out the window.
Right.
Right. Right. When the Canadians come with their hockey sticks, right.
Okay.
Trying to pour maple syrup all over me. I'm not going to stand for that. Okay. I might poop in a hole and put sharpened sticks in there myself.
Oh my God.
Sagebrush. Right. Is that what we're going to find in Nevada?
Tumbleweeds. It just tumbleweeds. Feces flying off of them.
I think that was Uganda, Justin.
It was Uganda?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I knew it happened
Uganda,
somewhere.
Uganda, be kidding me. No, didn't land.
Womp, womp, womp. Yeah, no. But they've done that in a lot of places. And then you hear about the locals dealing with them, and they're like, oh, they were very friendly at first, but as soon as they get the upper hand, it's like, oh, you defaulted on your loan? Fuck you. Give me the stuff.
I like that airport. That airport is mine now.
It's in Kampala, right?
I'll double check right now. It just said Uganda, but I'll...
Right.
While he's looking that up, though, before we wrap, I mean, I always heard that, like, militarily, we were kind of winning in Vietnam, but it was politically we were not. Like, with us...
My understanding, again, I've talked to a few Vietnam vets. There was a guy that was a real good friend of my dad's that didn't talk to me until I enlisted in the Marine Corps. I mean, he talked to me. We were friends, but, like...
But not about that.
Never talked about Vietnam.
See,
never. And then as soon as I enlisted, he wanted to talk to me.
Was he a Marine?
He was a Marine.
See, my uncle was
gunner.
A Marine in Vietnam, and he was actually MIA for a couple of weeks because what happened was he got ambushed. And if I remember the story correctly from what my grandmother told me, his sergeant was in front of him, got decapitated, and the decapitated head hit him, knocked him out, and he somehow they thought he was dead, so they left him there.
Took off, yeah.
And for some reason, he just didn't have his dog tags on him. So they found him like later that day, and he was in a hospital for a few weeks, but they didn't know who he was.
Like he was out of his head or something?
Yeah, I think he was like still recovering.
Oh, okay. I mean, that sounds
but I know
a
that
bit
my,
crazy.
My great-grandparents got a letter saying your son is MIA.
Right, yeah. I've definitely heard stories of people who something happens, especially back in the day when communication isn't as good as it is now.
Yeah, or as instant.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you can't just send a message. It's like, okay, the patrol got back to the base. We're missing four guys. All right, they're gone. So then patrol base messages... Main base, main base hits up Da Nang. Da Nang hits up DC. DC sends a letter. That takes 8 days or 10 or whatever.
So
and then by the time, we found him. And then that trickles down.
Well,
there.
The way that they found out was they got a call from him.
Oh.
And my great-grandmother fainted.
Yeah. Because you think that your kid's dead.
Yeah.
And then you get the call like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
But what was the question? I forgot.
Entebbe was...
Entebbe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. We were winning militarily, but we lost politically. So, and that's what ultimately made us withdraw. Well,
part of the problem was, I know one of the things was we would get, with guerrilla tactics, they engage, inflict some casualties, do some damage, and then run away, right? So you can't overwhelm them by force and destroy them, which, you know, is the mission of the Marine Rifle Squad.
Of the American way.
Right? Like, locate, close with, destroy. So they'd run into Cambodia. They'd run into Laos. They'd run beyond the DMZ where we're not supposed to go.
Right.
And I know for a fact, like, it's been declassified or whatever. We did have operations in those places, but we certainly weren't doing a situation where, like, okay, here's the enemy, whether they're organized or not. Anytime they attack us, we're going to follow them and kill them. And if we had done that, they eventually stopped fighting.
Now, was that the same with the conflict we were just recently in, where there were so many rules of engagement that it kept?
Well, I know that the ROE changed from the president's, right? So do you listen to any, I mean, I know you listen to podcasts. There was a guy on Sean Ryan recently. Sean Ryan was a Navy SEAL, yep. And he was talking about the ROE under Obama. And this guy had been in for quite a while. And I guess there was these really strange things where, like, you weren't allowed to shoot back if they stopped shooting, right? So let's say we're somewhere and someone shoots at us. It takes us a second to react, but they throw the gun down and run away. All right, well, we can't kill him now.
Potentially tomorrow he's going to do the same thing again.
Right, and it just seems silly. So anytime you put, because let's be clear here. Like, if you're engaging in armed conflict, it's terrible, awful. Yeah. Nobody likes it. It's not good because they're suffering, wanton destruction of land, things that are good for everybody. But if you're there and you're doing it, it's kind of like a fight, right? If you step in the ring or if you and I get on the mats, your goal is to beat me, right? Your goal isn't to tickle fight me, right? And you're going to do that in the most efficient way, hopefully.
Right.
And when you engage in a way where you're taking out that mentality, it's not just how can I be the most lethal force to achieve my goals the fastest. Why are you there? What's the point?
Right.
I don't know.
With all that being said,
anyway,
we do got to wrap. But right, Justin, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. This is your first podcast, right? We popped your cherry today.
Yeah, and you were so gentle.
Yeah, you're not the first cherry popping for me. Okay. All right.
I find that hard to believe.
That you weren't the first. I've had plenty of first podcasts with people.
Oh, podcast. Okay, yeah.
This guy. what do you got going on? Where can people find you if they want to get a hold of you? Or maybe you don't want them to get a hold of you.
Please don't after this. No, I'm kidding. So our office is located at 7th and Gas. The website is www.coxandwilson, and you can call us at 702-805-8500. All of your criminal and personal injury needs.
Even if we got a lot of people from the East Coast, even if they're on the East Coast.
Well, I mean,
call your local representative.
Call your local people. Essentially, if you have a Nevada problem, I'm your guy. If you have
a Kansas problem.
Yeah, I can do Kansas stuff too. If you've got a New York problem, though, I know people.
I got a guy.
Oh, I went to school in Syracuse.
Oh, right. Right. I remember. Yes, you definitely know some people. But thank you again for coming on. I'm glad we got to be able to do this. Thank you so much, everybody, watching. Tomorrow, we will be live again at 1 p.m. where we're going to have the Black Cauldron, our spiritualist, on with Alexandra, the minister I recently had on. It's going to be a debate. It's going to be intense. Also, tomorrow or Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is, as always, our call-in show where you, the audience, gets to call in and tell us your stories. It's a great time. We're going to have some special guests because this weekend we're actually doing another paranormal investigation. So stay on the lookout for that. Probably going to be about a month from now that comes out, but it's going to be really cool. We're doing that this weekend. So but thank you so much, everybody, watching. Thanks so much to Joey for engineering and being a real one as always. But until next time, everybody, stay bizarre.